So let us pray. God, so often we rush from one thing to the next, expecting to be able to hear your voice in the loudness of the world. Help us to pause today to hear your voice and to remember those whom we have loved and lost, so we can remember how your love shows up in the world. Amen. So since last week, it's a little weird. Last week we had Solomon, but since then, the kingdom of Israel is no longer united. The single geographic region that was Israel, that was under one rule and one common group of people, lasts for less than 100 years. And now we have the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. The southern kingdom of Judah includes Jerusalem and the Davidic kings. And Elijah is a prophet in the northern kingdom, prophesying against King Ahab and Queen Jezebel because of their expanded worship of Baal, there's like 30 different ways to pronounce his name. In the chapter before our reading today, we have Elijah's showdown with the prophets of Baal. And this is a really fun story-ish. It's Elijah, the last prophet of God, versus 450 prophets of Baal. So he proposes that the two teams each offer a bull as an offering, but don't add fire to the offering. Instead, they will each call on their god to ignite the fire. The prophets of Baal go first. They call on Baal, and they hop and they dance around the altar, and nothing. So then Elijah taunts them. "Shout louder! Certainly he's a god. Perhaps he is lost in thought, or wandering, or traveling somewhere. Or maybe he is asleep and must wake up." Which I feel like is one of the pettiest taunts in the entire Bible. So the prophets do get louder and offer drops of their own blood, and the text says they went crazy with their ritual for hours, and then still nothing. So then Elijah goes, and first he sets everything up just like they did, and then he's like, "I know how to make this more interesting," and pours water all over the wood and the slaughtered bull, and so there's blood and water dripping off of the altar, and he doesn't just do it once, he does it four times. And what happens when you get wood wet? It does not light. Plenty of us have tried, right? But then Elijah offers a short prayer, and the text says, "Then the Lord's fire fell. It consumed the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up the water in the trench." And the people gathered, fell on their faces, and proclaimed, "The Lord is the real God." Now, if that were the end of the story, that's a really cool story, right? It feels like he's made his point quite effectively. But you might have noticed in the beginning of our text that he's on the run because he didn't stop there. Because proving his point wasn't enough, Elijah goes on to slaughter all 450 of the prophets of Baal, which is why he's now on the run from the king and the queen. He knows he's messed up. He is in hiding and wallowing in misery, wishing that God would just let him die there. Sounding very similar to our text around this time last year with Jonah being mournful and sad about the state of the world under a fig tree, and then the fig tree dies, and then he's more mad about the fig tree. And the prophets are not ashamed to express the fullness of their emotions. So while he's sitting here wishing that God would just let him die, a messenger shows up, convinces him to eat, and sends him back into the work so that he can go hear from God one more time. While Moses encountered God in both fire and earthquakes, it is in the silence that Elijah heard God. And he's sent back into the work so that he can then go and appoint his successor. We often think that we're the only ones who can do what we think God is calling us to do. Which means when things don't work out the way we expect them, we beat ourselves up like Elijah. He expected a different outcome, and now he's having a full meltdown and is just ready to be done. Luckily, we see from the saints that have came before us, and maybe from your own list of saints, that God brings new people to do the work of God in a particular place. And just like how Elijah wasn't done until he appointed new kings and his successor Elisha, we too get to find and invest in the person who may one day take our place when it is no longer our time to do the work. God shows up in these hardest moments, these heaviest moments, the times when we feel like nothing could go the way we want it to. And God shows up in silence, in the presence of other people, as we see from the messengers, how we've encountered with how people have shown up in our lives if we've lost and grieved loved ones. And in the presence, we get reminders that we need to eat something. We get presence with people who sit in our mourning and hold silence in that space, holding kind tenderness towards our emotions so that we can one day be ready for the journey that is left before us. And then when the time comes, God leads us to the right people to invest in, to continue God's loving work in the world. And so let us pray. God, may your presence move with us, both in the memories of our great cloud of witnesses, in the memories of what you have done in the past, so that we know how to look for your presence in the moments that we find ourselves in. Whether they be moments of joy or moments of mourning or moments in between. And may we come to not be afraid of the silence. Afraid of the moments where sitting with you in silence allows our hearts to open to the emotions that we have been holding back in front of others. And may you send us to the right people and send the right people to us when we know that your love needs a physical presence in our world today. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.